everybody, and welcome to our slightly irregular Tuesday stream. Our stream that is totally
legitimate.
I hope you've all got your brooms out. There's a lot of sweeping to be done. but yes, how do I get out of this computer? I do not know. I do not know how the little people inside the computer can ever...
How did you get out?
Yeah, I guess...
How the hell did you get in there in the first place?
I was going to say, if you don't know how you got in, you certainly can't get out, can you? That doesn't seem particularly viable to
I'm
me.
I'm going to continue to make suspicious noises if someone coughs up with the truth.
Extremely suspicious. Anyway, welcome back, guys. We are still fully monetized somehow. So if you guys want to support us, you can do it through YouTube. Although the Ko-fi, which is linked in the description, and I will just put in the stream chat here as well, is the best way to support us without the Google tax. And also you can buy, anti-politics.
Book.
You can buy book. We'll not put that on screen, so we might put it on screen later, but we have got quite a bit through here.
And for those who weren't aware yet, we have managed to get the back end of the stuff on Substack working again. So if missed some streams or prefer to watch them over there / listen to them, you can go and do that ad-free and also maybe choose to support us on Substack as well.
Well, we have a few of our own Substack pieces we'll be referring to because we have put out three over the past couple of weeks. We've been productive, guys. Hooray! Hooray for us.
We're really trying, we promise.
We're trying, we promise. It just takes a lot of time and effort to get basically anything done.
I am literally stuck in Keir Starmer's nose. How do you expect me to do this?
Okay. The subject of political legitimacy or legitimacy in general, the legitimacy of institutions, all of that stuff is something that we talk about habitually without talking about what legitimacy is, what legitimacy means, and what we mean by it. It is one of the baked-in things with our politics. It's something that we assume everybody knows what we're talking about. Everybody knows, you know, what legitimacy is, and everybody knows how to achieve political legitimacy. But this is not the case. It is one of really the biggest base assumptions in terms of politics. It is one of the biggest hurdles in UK political organisation is the need for infant political organisations to seek quote unquote legitimacy.
I mean, it's one of the things people take at most as a given, which is why, in a certain respect, it is one of the most fundamental mistakes people make in thinking about politics in general, in any way, shape, or form.
Yes. Well, as we've got on here, we'll be using him a few times here, but we decided to create, along with the Starmer thumbnail, we had the Pot of Sneed. We might be getting that and posting that in future as a little bit of a meme.
I want to suggest that you can find the full-res Sneed picture from me posting it on Twitter or on our Telegram. When you ever see any sort of rightoid going, ooh, Starmer's going to ruin Britain, just post the Pot of Sneed at them.
Yes. Shockingly, we're not going to talk about how Keir Starmer's ruining Britain because, in a very real sense, he isn't. He isn't in command. He's not someone who sits there and is... We've talked about this idea before, and we'll be reiterating this. We reiterate things sometimes. But the reason we're kind of making slight fun of people who are like, Keir Starmer is ruining Britain. Keir Starmer's... This is not Keir Starmer's Britain.
No, it never was, and it never will be.
It never was... And it never will be. What we've got on screen is very simple. It is just the membership of political parties in the UK. And it's that's thousands, I believe. In the thousands. And this is 2018, January to April 2018. And it's fallen since this. But there are only, or in 2018, there was only 124,000 people in the Conservative Party. At the time, ruling party of Britain. That is not something that demonstrates a quote-unquote large degree of political legitimacy amongst the public. It used to be a lot higher, but what we've actually seen is the legitimacy of visible politicians drop to practically zero.
But I think that there's something to be said for the fact that with a lot of sort of basic politics, the concept people have in their head of legitimacy is wholly false, and if anything, it's backwards.
Yes.
It's another one of these sort of givens that comes from thinking about public opinion and the consent of the governed and these other abstractions that we know now mean bugger all. So it really is to say the fact that legitimacy comes by ruling. Ruling does not come by legitimacy.
Yes, that is...
And this is an important lesson
Sorry,
for any and every group looking to engage in the electoral process or politics in any way, shape or form. For your revolutionary and insurgent sort of group to become politically viable, it must have an air of legitimacy. And the things and the hurdles and the hoops it must jump through to become legitimate no longer allow it to be this revolutionary and insurgent group that it once was.
To quash any question, by the way, yes, that is a real reform campaign image.
Mm.
We didn't make that to make fun of them.
No, we didn't just go down like the local job centre, grab these guys, give them signs and go, can you point at this so we have a stock image? Because we're actually not that clever, and no. I wish we were.
Well, how, as you were talking about, how organised political groups function is they select a client group. They select a single group that they act on behalf of, hopefully an organised group and a group that can fund them and sustain them, and ally themselves with the elite and moneyed members of that group. Patronage from that group is what keeps the organisation going, not public legitimacy.
Yes, and I think what we're going to attempt to do, possibly in a roundabout way, is define all the things that legitimacy isn't.
Yes.
So first and foremost, being legitimate doesn't mean that you rule or don't rule.
Yes.
It actually bears no significance on this whatsoever. It is a filter over which people view it through. What we can also discern is that a group being legitimate does or doesn't, sorry, it bears no relevance on whether or not it has elite support.
Yes.
From a client group that can provide it with coverage, patronage, and any judicial or financial help that an organised minority might require.
It's very much, it's legitimacy to whom, in what regard.
And for what, yes.
Yes. Mm. It really is. It's people talk about legitimacy, they talk about viability, and they talk about all these things. But it's legitimacy in the eyes of who, in terms of what.
Yes. If you're attempting to dislodge a system like mass electoral managerialism, then being promoted as legitimate by its institutions and organs would be fatal to the internal legitimacy of that genuinely insurgent counter-elite. This is a feature, not a bug. To ape this sense of legitimacy that's required, or so we are told is required, to be publicly viable as a party, or as an electoral front, would destroy the internal discipline that made that organisation its own organised minority that would have stood out as a counter-elite.
Yes. It takes the flavour out of you. I'll be going through a little bit of one of our Substack pieces at some point called It's No Fun to Be the Man, but we brought out three of them really that kind of link to each other, where it's this idea that as the patriots become in control, in quotes, the energy drains out of them, because this is a process that people think happens automatically. The thinking that any political movement must shed its outwardly revolutionary rhetoric and temper its core message to gain public legitimacy is baked into all political thinking, or at least, you know, basically all political thinking on the right.
Mm.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, with people actively expecting this process of neutering to take place.
We've got to hide our power levels, guys.
And that's to become electorally viable via becoming legitimate, in quotes. Ideas are rejected not on their merit, but on their hypothetical appeal to a hypothetical mass voter. To not appeal to this, the thought experiment of the normie says, makes you illegitimate.
Mm. And this is why we see what was reform in its early days and now restore looking like a sort of confusing mess, because it's clearly full of people who have probably been through this process of ascending the ladder of legitimacy dozens of times.
Yeah.
And they know exactly the measures and sort of policies that have to be implemented internally so that they will be represented and fairly treated in the sort of wider public sphere of politics. That they will be considered part of the sort of official way of things being done. Whereas another sort of, as we describe it, slightly more insurgent part of that party has no interest in this sort of public legitimacy whatsoever. And what you really end up with is a very dangerous combination of two people trying to pull the thing in completely opposite directions and probably tearing it in half.
Well, that is the big paradox here, in that in order to get into government, to do the things you want to do, you have to swear that you'll not do the things you want to do, and then when you're in government, you can't do the things you want to do.
But as we've talked about before with some of the stuff from Betts, from some of the very intense stuff we've done in counterinsurgency, this is a fundamental and sort of metaphysical truth of how you engage in politics. This is in the same sense that wars thousands of miles away automatically lead to immigration.
Yes.
No, they don't.
No.
It's just the fact that people have come to take that as a given, so that when it does happen, they already jump in front of the situation by going, oh, this shouldn't be the case. In a sense, funnily enough, legitimizing the argument that no one was actually there to make yet.
Well, it's one of the supposed third rails you can't do. And the thing that, you know, this cargo cult, this reaction, this idea that in order to gain power and gain legitimacy, in quotes, you must completely dilute what you are into an indistinct sludge, is the conversation around Israel and also specifically the Jewish ethnic lobby. Those are things that you cannot talk about, you know, within the frame, apparently. And yet, actually, both Israel and now the Jewish ethnic lobby are deeply unpopular. But it's framed as electorally unviable to talk about Zionism and the effect that Zionism has, and the all, you know, the awful distaste that most people have for the modern state of Israel, because it's not within, you know, the quote-unquote Overton window. It's not within the frame. It will make you illegitimate, in quotes.
I mean, that's maybe the little inverse there, is that no one would talk about the legitimacy of the Israeli lobby in, say, Britain or America, because they fundamentally recognise it as illegitimate in the first place.
Yes.
And this is what we're getting at. It's possibly as a consequence of what you believe to be as illegitimacy, which in most cases is very much true, that it does have so much power.
Yes. That's the point, in that most people do in Britain, if you ask them if they believe that the state of Israel is legitimate in its actions, they would say no.
Mm.
But they don't have any way to void the legitimacy of the state of Israel.
No, because to try and challenge them on that is to become part of a formal political organisation and allow yourselves to be poured into a predetermined and pre-shaped container.
Well, the reality is that those in power will never let you vote against Israel. And that is the shape of the political container. It's something we talk about again. We've got the Substack back up and updating. We've got all the podcasts here in an ad-free format. Some of these will become paid as time goes along. But for now, we've got a lot of them free because we didn't manage to update this for quite a while. But we've got new articles here. And one of them is one of mine called It's No Fun to Be the Man. It references your We Are No Longer the Right Side of History piece here. The right side of history. That's what history's become. Managerial history is
shite side of history.
Yeah, yeah, the shite side of history. which is about the fact that going through this process of legitimacy or legitimization, in quotes, saps all of the political energy and content and flavor from a political movement. And this is what's happening right now to reform.
Yes, a lot of individuals' justifiable righteous indignation about issues that were brought up sometimes as far as 10 years ago from now is finally coming to the fore, and now that it is, they don't look like the righteous underdog sort of party that they were. They look like people abusing power. What they look is illegitimate.
Well, the political moment is over in terms of populism, and the genuine outpouring of anti-establishment energy has already been consumed by the political establishment itself. This for a form is coinciding with seeking institutional acceptance in a way that robs them and the wider supporting structures within the right of their insurgent political energy. Electoral viability dictates UK political parties have to fit into a large managerial system of a particular and rigid shape. Those insurgent parties who undertake the transformation to be electorally viable pour themselves like liquid into the hard-edged container that is Westminster and the UK electoral system. In doing so, they take its shape exactly. This process happened to MAGA, but the US political class doggedly maintained the illusion, the kayfabe, of Trump being at war with the system until it was time for the Jeffrey Epstein to belabor the Democrat hoax and for Bibi's bombs to fall. This is not so with Reform, whose play-pretend shadow cabinet is riddled with Boris-wave Tory defectors such as the repugnant Robert Jenrick, one of the main supporters of the Afghanistan super-injunction that led secret UK immigration schemes unable to be reported on by law. We'll not read that in its entirety, but that is part of what this stream developed from, really, is our collected notes and our collected writings. But the angle we look at it from, you know, we didn't have enough space here to talk about this idea of legitimacy in itself, but we've talked about it a bit before. We talked about it in our New Britain stream, the neutral position, because you actually, I think I've missed these off. The you can't take over the Tory party stream as well that we did. That I will get up at some point. I don't think it's actually there, but the can't take over the Tory party is an older stream that we did where we talked about the fact that political legitimacy is something that you shouldn't seek out, basically, or at least from the current system. It sounds like a tautology, but we talked about it earlier. It's if you are legitimized by the system you are trying to replace,
then you wouldn't be ruling it.
Yeah.
But if you are ruling in the system, then you will be legitimized by it.
Yes.
And I understand it, as you say, it's tautologous and it's circular, but you have to understand that this is actually how it works. Legitimacy is sort of, what would be the phrase? It's imbued by the fact that you are already in power. Because you are in power, you are then subsequently legitimate. It's such a self-fulfilling prophecy, but you need to understand how that momentum not only functions for one or the other sort of party in question, but can actually be turned on its head at any sort of moment that it becomes convenient for the truly ruling elites, those who aren't in the face of electoral politics, when they get to decide who is or isn't legitimate. Because to them, that's a lot more important. And how they define it has nothing to do with the way that we see politics as it's presented to us in wider media.
No.
To be legitimate in the eyes of the British electoral system on the right, quote-unquote, means you have to become the Tory party. This is the only allowable shape to key into the current system from the right. And this is not to give these people credit or to give them any dues whatsoever. But I don't think you could be a organisation that has wielded as much power as it has in Britain over that length of time without turning into something that does look and function like the Tory party.
Yes, you have to be. Well, it's just the Tory party, as the quote-unquote party of power, has simply taken the shape that the institutions and bureaucracies around it have forged it into.
Yes.
The institutions and bureaucracies around the Tory party, including the money power, are all more powerful than it in the abstract. The Tory party itself, as we've learned, is actually incredibly weak and can be dispensed with at any point.
Mm.
It is a function. It is a moniker. It is a shape that you take to be in power.
Mm. But I think what this goes to show is that legitimacy is not only variable and can be turned on its head, but is always, almost always relativistic.
Yes.
It's not only that it's X, Y, or Z group is legitimate, but who is it legitimate to? Or what is it legitimate for? And the current sort of ruling elite in Britain do not care about mass political legitimacy. They want to focus on the legitimacy of institutions like the NHS or the Bank of England. Or, inversely, the illegitimacy of them, depending on whether or not they want to change them.
Yes.
And this is what we mean by it being so easy to flip this on its head. We can go from a point whereby we all critique Keir Starmer and think that his government is illegitimate, but what would really happen at the end of the day is that Keir Starmer and a few of his mates would go, and the rest of the structure, which we have just defined as illegitimate, would stay as it was.
Yes, it's hundreds of layers of fallback position. It is what we talked about again in our neutral position stream there.
But it allows these people to have a sort of constant fallback.
Yes.
And in such, creates this paradox where some of your longest-lasting leaders in Western liberal democracies, where we're supposed to have this form of popular government and accountability, are actually the most unpopular leaders.
Thank you there, DigBic1034. Renting a Riverside Greenwich Council property for only £900 a month. I, for one, love our Epstein socialist overlords. That is the big thing, in that, yes, when it comes time for these people to shapeshift, I think it's the point we got later, but when it comes time to do the shapeshift, there you go, actually, I'm the face of the housing authority. Mm. I'm the face of the education system. Well, to get rid of me, you'll have to get rid of the NHS and the education system and the housing system. And, oh, that means your house is going to go and your children aren't going to get educated and no one's going to treat you in the hospital and no hospitals, no schools, no houses without us.
Which, to those who remember all the way back to when we first started going over Matt Goodwin and containment and all this sort of stuff, was a fundamental strategy for pushing away structural questions about British politics and making them either partisan and useless or so sort of over-exaggerated that you then put the onus on the person asking that question to provide an alternative.
Yes.
What do you mean you want to get rid of the immigrants? That's going to impact the NHS. Don't you have an alternative then?
Yeah.
And the onus is not on you to then turn around and go, immigrants shouldn't be here because they're bad. You've now got to reinvent the healthcare system.
Yes. It is the great lie, really, that says, well, I am just a politician, but also I represent the entire system. It's a neat trick. Yeah,
I represent the constituency, but the constituency is everyone.
Yes, and the constituency doesn't really exist. And the constituency must have its interest acted against when it is sensible and moral and right.
Yes.
I am here to decide that we've talked about the exception a lot of times and the way that works. Where does legitimacy come from? We've used this quote before. It's actually a quote that Hopper used in The Great Fiction. here it is. I'll get it on screen. But it's from 1971.
It's Hume's essays,
Moral, Political, and Literary, Oxford University Press.
Nothing appears more surprising to those who consider human affairs with a philosophical eye than the easiness with which the many are governed by the few, and the implicit submission with which men resign their own sentiments and passions to those of their rulers. When we inquire by what means this wonder is effected, we shall find that as the force is always on the side of the governed, the governors have nothing to support them but opinion. It is therefore on opinion only that government is founded. And this maxim extends to the most despotic and most military governments, as well as that of the most free and most popular. The Pharaoh of Egypt, or the Emperor of Rome, might drive his harmless subjects like brute beasts against their sentiments and inclination. But he must, at least, have led his Mamelukes and Praetorian bands like men by their opinion. The narrative supersedes.
Yes. And really, what that is, it's a good proof of the organised minority defeats the disorganised majority.
Yes.
That's really what Hume's saying there. Hume says the organised minority defeats the disorganised majority. Not one of our axioms, but one of the true axioms of politics. You can't get outside of that. Anything that disagrees with that is wrong.
Mm.
It's not flawed, it's not a difference of opinion, it is wrong. And within politics, you can be right and you can be extremely wrong.
Yes. A population need not find its leaders legitimate. It only needs to submit to their rule. You could get people to agree that Trump or Starmer was illegitimate as an individual and therefore needs to be impeached or removed or voted out. But those same people would call the police effectively on you if you said liberal democracy as a structure is illegitimate and needs to be destroyed.
Yes.
This is the difference between being a Menshevik and a Leninist, I suppose.
Well, it also allows this disconnect where people do not associate the permanent bureaucracy with the transient politics.
Yes. The fact that Axel Ribbicugagubugagubug went and did what he did a couple of years ago is not the fault of Keir Starmer. And if you want to spurgate me because of that, please go and do it on Twitter and demonstrate how much of a retard you are for me. Because what you were doing, it's giving the man more governing legitimacy than he actually already has.
Yes.
And that there is a perfect sort of inverse effect here. By painting these people as supervillains, they become super something, as opposed to just boring grey people in suits. Keir Starmer doesn't represent... he is not the man himself making decisions, consequentially changing your life on a day-to-day basis. But if you argue online in a sense that he is, you are giving him more...
It's narrative
power than he already has.
The majority of people are trained to be profoundly politically retarded, in that when they think of a prime minister, they think of him as a king.
Mm.
When they think of politics in general that they are involved in, they think of bottom-up democracy. And they're able to hold these two ideas in their head simultaneously without them conflicting, because we naturally, as a shorthand, think of our leaders as kings.
Mm.
But we are trained from birth to think of ourselves as a civic movement that can impact, you know, we impact the will of the king. And it's this subsummation, it's this substitution of king and subject that, you know, oh no, you are the best treated subject. In fact, you're such a good subject, we let you choose the king.
Yeah, well, what we do is we let the elites organise us so that we're organised into a form that allows us to overthrow the elites.
Well, it's,
yeah.
This is something we talked about in the paradox of unpopular elected leaders as well, in that you don't necessarily have to be popular to be elected.
No.
You don't have to be liked to be elected. You don't have to be... You can be despised by the entire population and still remain in power, like Macron did, still does.
But fundamentally, being despised in this sense gives you more credence to carry on ruling than you otherwise had. Because now you are actually narratively responsible for what happens on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you can hate Keir Starmer for being in power, but you still believe he's in power. I do not believe Keir Starmer is in power. Keir Starmer is not in power. He does not run this country. He does not sit in his office and pull the levers of power, in quotes, which lead nowhere. He's a functionary. He's a conduit. He occupies the same empty seat as the dissolving lettuce Liz Truss. He just sits, you know, very often the people who are cited as legitimate are not in, cited as illegitimate, are not in power. The visible political class are largely not in power in general. Only the elite power brokers within their ranks are. And the power persists in or out of office. See Tony Blair or Mr. Kushner, who, by the way, is still only a volunteer observer. He has no position. In the same way that Tony Blair is just running an NGO, he has really no position.
So to conclude on exactly this point here, saying the people in power, i.e. the elected politicians, are illegitimate, then pointing at a bunch of people like Angela Rayner, Wes Streeting or Keir Starmer, one, imbues them with more power narratively than they otherwise had, and therefore, in a paradoxical sense, gives them legitimacy they otherwise didn't have. This makes the discussion of, and therefore solutions to, real elite power struggles impossible.
Because what
always happens is, the moment there is a critical bursting of client pressure on someone like a Starmer or a Trudeau, you find that they just parachute in someone else who might be just as maniacal, and if not actually more capable, of using that position than the person prior.
Yes.
And that you go worse in the opposite direction.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with this, and we'll be moving on to a slightly different section in a second, but the fact that people think that their opinion matters in terms of politics, that their voice matters, that they have a voice, that they are involved in this process, is what leads people here. But even when people abandon that, even people I see who are outwardly anti-democracy and say they don't believe in democracy
will still talk about the legitimacy of rulers as if it matters.
Oh, they'll still talk about, the fact that somebody needs to be seen as legitimate by the public in order to make headway.
Mm.
They will deny democracy and then default to this democratic thinking. The idea of legitimate and illegitimate leaders in terms of public opinion is a complete fugazi that is due to the democratic frame that does not exist. Mm. Expunge from your mind the fact that you can delegitimize Keir Starmer. In fact, it's like, it's, as we've talked about, you're about three layers of retard deep there. Keir Starmer isn't in power. His legitimacy with the public does not matter. And you personally cannot delegitimize him in quotes, even if it would do anything.
And if you could,
you shouldn't do.
Because as we all
you're doing is running around going, Keir Starmer's really powerful. Keir Starmer's really powerful. Look how powerful Keir Starmer is.
And then the vast majority of people turn and go, oh, maybe I should vote for him.
He's really powerful. Maybe I should vote for the powerful man.
But there is an important archetype that this creates here. It's one we've come to understand quite well through the language of kayfabe.
Yes.
That Starmer or Macron or Merkel becomes this sort of heel character. They become someone actually that certain clients of people who are particularly contrarian for whatever reasons would actually then jump ship on.
Yes. It also just... When you confront people raw like that and go, well, you do realise that Keir Starmer isn't in power. It is a bit tinfoil hatty to most. It's a very difficult subject to broach, which is why we don't talk about red pill normies. We've got a more... You want to read this one, Evelyn?
Daniel W6348's got a tenner for us. Maybe we are being set up for a restoration of national pride with USA. Leaving NATO, we can fight, then feel the burning gammon fury to fight as a proxy to Russia. This explains digital IDs for vets. Yes, somewhat. I mean, I suppose digital IDs for veterans just make sense because they're people who have been turned into killing machines, and you kind of want to keep an eye on those folk.
Yes. Well, we'll be talking about the idea of the political heel. We talked about this in our paradox of unpopular elected leaders, but being a bad guy in a narrative sense in politics is a perfectly viable strategy.
I've just seen one of the greatest replies ever in the Telegram chat. I've obviously posted the pot of Sneed.
Yes.
And someone's replied, Heart of the Tards.
Heart of the Tards.
So believe in the heart of the Tards.
You've got to believe. Yeah, that's what Red Pill and Army is. No, you're not believing in the heart of the Tards. I might do that. I need to create a believe in the heart of the Tards. Can we get some I believe in the heart of the Tards in chat? Come on, guys. If we wrangle them hard enough, if we use our pot of Sneed and believe in the heart of the Tards, we might win a children's card game.
I play pot of Sneed in defense mode.
That's not how it works.
Sharp. I'm not nerd.
Actually, no. I actually can't remember how Yu-Gi-Oh works.
Yu-Gi-Oh's the
minority card game.
No. Right. Anyway,
here we go.
Kayfabe. The heel.
Yes.
When a wrestler makes a heel turn, it often boosts his profile overall, as the new angle can breathe fresh life into his narrative. This is because Vince is in charge of the story, not the audience, and especially not the audience who buys into the kayfabe. Nor is the wrestler, for that matter, either.
The wrestler isn't in control of the story either. He doesn't control his own fate. He is not in control of what happens. He is, you know, he can make some variations on it. He can do some slightly different moves, but the overarching story remains the same.
I believe you can genuinely quadruple the average person's political IQ if you get them to understand that there must necessarily be a Vince character. That there is actually a production and scripting team that is like the fundamental cut through to make all of this work. Otherwise, they'd be throwing each other around in a ring for no reason.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, they're debating in Parliament for no reason because the decisions are already made.
It is. It's just like, well, it's not about the choices. It's not about the war. It's not about the policies. And it's not about the spending or cuts. Mm. It's about the narrative around them. It is about having a sense of narrative drive forward and discussions around legitimacy and illegitimacy of institutions belies them as power centres. Mm. As long as there is discussion around their legitimacy or illegitimacy within a frame that supposes that they could be legitimate, that neutralises any kind of action against them. It really, really does. But it's our leaders also cannot believe in political legitimacy themselves.
No.
If you're angry at us and you think that's silly, you're just extremists, you just think that everyone should go around throwing Romans, gah, 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 gah. Well, our political leaders don't believe in this whole legitimacy thing either.
No.
They can't. In the same way, those who bind the democracy do, because you can't write the script whilst believing your own fiction. You can't bind to democracy as an elected leader. At least one who wants to quote-unquote wield some power.
As someone who actually has power, though, I think that's a distinguishing thing.
Yes.
What you have inversely, though, is there are retarded figureheads that do actually believe,
yes,
in their own public legitimacy and public image, who you can normally spot like a bloody,
yes,
sore thumb.
Yes, it's the actual power brokers. Vince knows wrestling is fake. Blair knows democracy is fake.
Yes.
Anne Widdecombe doesn't know democracy is fake.
And that's why she has no power.
Yeah, and that's why she never had any power. That's why she went through meetings
now,
and sat
what this,
there.
What this means about certain other ex-Tory individuals like one Rupert Lowe is up for other people to decide. We've got another tenor from JD. To quote, remember, you're training the people you see are donkeys. Starmer is a donkey, an evil donkey, but still a donkey. Don't make him into an Ubermensch. Have a reasonably priced London pint on me.
Thank you very much. We could only get one with that, though. That's the sad part. But another point is that power legitimizes itself.
No, I've just seen someone in the chat there as well go, yes, but they try to make you believe in this narrative even though they don't believe it in themselves. I don't think this is entirely true anymore.
No.
I think, if anything, they have worked out that it's actually just as powerful to have people be sceptical of your narrative than it is to have them believe in it.
Yes.
Because scepticism means they actually treat it with more attention. It gets sent to both sides. You create more of a partisan split over it. And it actually ends up becoming a more legitimate and real-feeling phenomena than it would otherwise be if people believed in banging the pots and pans for the NHS.
Yes. We'll talk about figures more like Miliband in a second, but it's legitimacy can be reframed. As I said, legitimacy legitimizes, power legitimizes itself, and legitimacy can be reframed by power.
Yes.
Governance and government are amorphous. COVID is a very good example. Boris Johnson soaked up much of the negative sentiment towards the system at large during COVID. Blair gained legitimacy by making himself the face of the wider system, like the NHS and education system, which the public feel is a payment for them.
Look how they've just done a switcheroo with bloody Mandelson,
yes,
and all the bloody Epstein stuff. That's now all just completely flipped ahead on it, and now it's become about the fact that he was a sort of a particular maniacal individual.
Look, I hadn't seen this one. Mandelson faces £300 fine for urinating in... They've suddenly removed his everything-proof shield and treating him like a normal person, saying,
yes,
see, the elites can be brought down. Peter Mandelson is totally illegitimate.
Totally illegitimate.
Yes.
But this brings up a very important point. The legitimacy that really does matter is internal. Public legitimacy comes from the masses outside, looking in and expressing their emotions regarding a process they do not understand, nor can meaningfully influence, and in most cases need to have it interpreted to them anyway.
Well, that's why there's this Punch and Judy cartoon about Mandelson.
Mm.
He is literally just red meat. His career is over, the Americans forgot who he was, and he has been the one piece of the UK-British establishment thrown under the Epstein bus.
Yes.
In fact, he's been one of the only pieces of the global political establishment thrown the Epstein
because
bus.
I mean, if you think about it, Prince Andrew is actually a nobody. Other than his actual connections to these people, he was nothing other than that, really, was he?
Well, that's why he behaved in the way he did.
Yes. But there is an important point here, that for a political faction to be viable, things like internal discipline come so much higher than public opinion.
Mandelson's his role in the 1997 Blair government's a great example of that.
Was exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was disciplining people within that organisation so as to make it internally legitimate.
Yes.
You know, but again, one of the things that straight away further legitimised Keir Starmer is if he started actually internally disciplining people like Ed Miliband, which he's sort of half hinted at doing but not done properly yet. Probably because they're waiting for the perfect opportunity dump them out and have a 2 or 3 day one in the press
again,
about it.
Serial heel for like I'm starting to like Zoe Williams from The Guardian is somebody they wheel out to say stuff that is bait. She is a bait. This is bait. Like, this is actually just The Guardian doing. Ed Miliband, hold firm. North Sea Oil and Gas Drilling won't help anyone other than Nigel Farage. It's Ed Miliband isn't drilling the North Sea to own Nigel Farage, rather than technical decline means that our government is incapable of harvesting oil anymore.
Dare I suggest because there is some utility in The Guardian actually being a paper of disrepute as opposed to being a paper of legitimacy.
Well, apart from when it is, it puts its serious hat on and it becomes a totally legitimate, you know, it becomes it becomes the Snowden Files, you know, website.
I've not worn that in a while.
And it's mixing the two together that creates this hyper reality. It's the mixing the two together that creates this hyper real sludge where you're given awful revelations coupled with absolute fucking tat and guff. Like this is guff. Being mad at Ed Miliband, I'm convinced. I this isn't even like me being facetious or having an outside. I'm actually convinced. I will argue with people about this that Ed Miliband is only kept around because they know they can make political hay when they eventually fire him.
Yeah.
He's ballast.
Nick Clegg.
Nick Clegg. He's like Nick Clegg on steroids.
Nick Clegg on.
Yeah, he's just... Keir Starmer can turn around and hit Ed Miliband like a pinata and admonish him for his greed.
Bust him and all his political capital shall outflow. The legitimacy would be drowning in it.
He will bust open Ed Miliband and from an illegitimizing force, he will be legitimized.
But
it's going to happen.
Will your life be any better or worse depending on whether or not Ed Miliband gets fired or remains in his position? I would honestly argue the fact that it probably makes no difference whatsoever. But again, this sense of legitimacy can be flipped on its head and played around with, as is completely convenient.
It's again, he's like a worked example. Ed Miliband actually isn't the person holding back petrochemical power in this country. Ed Miliband is not the Cheeto over the toilet door of complete oil self-reliance. We have a huge technical decline problem, mostly because the Scottish government was handed the North Sea oil and just couldn't do it because they're not technical people.
And we're never supposed to anyway.
Yeah. They were supposed to just kind of arse around with it and not do much with it anyway. Drilling for oil is hard and narrative framing is easy. That's why we're in the problem that we're in. Harvesting oil and gas is difficult, and making excuses why you're not harvesting oil and gas is easy.
It's a piece of pish. We just canna be arsed.
We just canna be arsed.
Canna be arsed, mate. Yeah, sorry. This is also another like real image.
He didn't make this.
Is it Stephen John Miller or something? The guy's called.
I had to look through his tweets for like a day to make sure that he wasn't like a Poe.
Look,
I thought he was fucking with us with this.
Why? Stephen John Miller says, vote for my darkie.
my dark can beat your dark.
Oh, God. we've heard of Parking Pataweo. We've had Warden Wagatongi. Now meet it. Candidate Chibembwe.
Candidate Chibembwe. Vote for him today.
Vote for me.
Chibembwe. I am here to legitimize your government.
That's it.
Excuse me, reform.
That's it. What
reform is totally legitimate.
What you are looking at on the screen right now is the fast track to political viability.
He is walking legitimacy.
Oh, there's a few more here.
Eye for an eye, $20 and...
Then there's a cake? Or
no,
is that
pints.
A,
like, no. It's pints cheersing.
Oh, sorry, that looks like pancakes or something.
No, it's pints cheersing. Thank you for the £2 super sticker. It seems to be some sort of dancing pear. You like pears?
I don't mind pears.
Adding a little legitimacy to the stream with a super chat. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for legitimizing us.
Bangle.
I need to make a calendar checking off days I haven't written or spoken the name of a single politician. I want 2 weeks at least. That's good. That's actually a good aim. We should. I don't know. We can't do that. Unfortunately, we must.
Maybe he stole that sign from Matt Goodwin.
Maybe Matt Goodwin's line like busted. If Matt Goodwin's line like busted in like a gutter just off screen, he might have my vote.
So what the thing is, right? This is what I mean. Is if you hired some like old tired like. Daytime TV presenter that's like shockingly camp and has a bit of the Alan Carr sort of expression he's got on his face.
It does.
And you just got some guys from the job centre and some bloody like reform banners and just had them take pictures around your local town. You could completely delegitimize that as a sort of burgeoning political movement in an afternoon. I want to now believe that these pictures are actually fake. That he's done this deliberately to sabotage reform.
That's what I was checking. Because it's just, I know we use it for the image with the text, but my goodness.
Can you get that up in the caption, please?
I'll get it. Fine.
Because I think it's such a perfect combo.
I'll get it back up with the caption. I'll get it back up with the action. But also, like, these lads have been stitched up.
Yeah.
It's like, by rights, they should be campaigning in their own country. I don't mean that in, like, a send them back way. I mean that, no, in, like, a, like this is cruel to
go,
them.
Go and fix your own place for your own people.
It's like,
why are weird Jews that throw money behind British political movements getting these people to come to the forefront when it's only going to make their lives and our lives worse? It's not even about achieving anything. It's just about fucking suffering.
It is.
Now, where's the legitimacy in that?
I do not want...
Just some of the comments, there's some genuine sympathy. Yeah, this is fucked up.
It's just like, why are you... that was my comment on this. Why are you making... Especially this one. I mean, I'll get him back. Just him on the bike. The bike that's too... Like, the folding bike that's too small for him. Look at his expression. He just wants to go home. Why can't we? Why are you making him ride around he's on the fucking reform bike?
He's a blackie on a Brompton.
Why are you making him do this? It's not correct. It's as amusing as we find it, I do find this actually relatively sad.
They look happy, though.
Enjoying the book and looking forward to the... next. Cheers. Well, the thing is, this is where they've been presenting the fiver, and this is where he's told he's going to have to get on the bike to keep earning the fiver.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Do I get another fiver? No, get on the bike! Oh.
No.
But that's what you need to have modern political legitimacy. With the false cycling of elites in a democracy requires they become illegitimate before they are cycled out. I mean, again, sorry, I've got the thumbnail back up there, but
yeah, sorry. This is a further.
You're not meant
point.
To take these people seriously. If you take these people too seriously, that is a problem.
But this is a further point here. It takes some amount of effort to then create the illegitimate image of someone.
Yeah.
If you can convince idiots online to do it for you, it makes the cycling of your minor elite class easier, because people on the street that are idiots that don't know how the system works are doing the legwork to get rid of people that are causing you a pain in the arse as the ruling sort of elite.
Well, this is why we had like the will they won't they thing. This is basically why the Biden administration was an intermission, because they actually wanted to milk the storyline. Like, for three, Trump did get three terms basically. Yeah. Narratively he did. They had like a Biden sandwich in it where they gave him a redemption arc, but that was all his arc. And the betrayal, in quotes, only came when it was time to put MAGA away.
Yes, this is why all elected politicians undertake betrayals or embarrassments or scandals, and then there is a systematic turn against them,
yes.
a bipartisan effort to have these people ousted. They need to be cycled, and someone else needs to be cycled in. That's why you have Rishi Sunak in the pissing rain giving a speech that doesn't mean nothing. And this is why it's signalled and pre-signalled sometimes months and years in advance.
Yeah. That's why you have, you know, Viktor Orban being cycled out in a whimper as he was narratively sold as a strongman dictator,
yes,
without actually being one.
No.
Without being anywhere near that. He's basically equivalent to David Cameron.
And this isn't just done for lunacy. This is done because it very effectively protects and creates a barrier around the permanent bureaucracy and the security state. They are the sacrificial lambs. A leader that is cycled out narratively has to have legitimacy in order from rule to be stripped from them. If they go along with this process, they are then rewarded. These people are given their fancy little jobs in Facebook or whatever, or their podcast mind position. That's barely a prize, that one, Mrs. Truss.
I know it is.
Hard cheese, Mar.
Hard cheese, Mar. Well, that's why Liz Truss got put out to farm with, like, the minimum welfare. She got given, like, basic.
Mm.
She got, like, it's like getting basic JSA is like being put in the podcast lines.
She wasn't fired, but she was asked to leave the building, and if she didn't, security would be called. Having a new face on the same permanent bureaucracy injects fresh political energy into it and creates the illusion of movement in a system of very strictly static managed decline. It allows them to completely narratively switch things up, if so need be, and make what is the George Bush government look like the Barack Obama government.
Yes. It's also just, again, narratively, they're able to talk about, you know, the bad line and the good line. Politicians make bad line go up and good line go down.
The faces all become despised and illegitimate, but the system they represent doesn't.
Yes.
Lower level functionaries who are mostly ignored by the public can sit in lifetime jobs until it's their turn to take a hit.
Yep. It's the process that is put forward here is one of... It's a faking of Prato and Mosca's kind of cycling the elite theory.
Mm.
It's the idea that we appear to see a churn, but we do not. And they are legitimized on the upswing and then delegitimized on the downswing. Keir Starmer, again, he's a great example. He only needed to be legitimate in the public eyes the day of the election.
Mm.
The rest of the time, he can absorb like a shield, like a sponge, all of the rage against the wider system. You don't hate Keir Starmer. You hate the British system in general.
You hate the Bank of England.
You hate managerialism.
Yeah.
You hate managed decline. And until everything, the giant supporting structure that is managed decline is what you are attacking, it doesn't matter. Attacking the pieces of it is completely counterproductive. Or, in fact, the system is set up in such a way that you are meant to.
I know. I'm sorry, just the longer I look at that image, the funnier it gets.
It is pretty good. But it's...
I like him. It looks like he's about to sneeze as well. He's a bit...
But we are so hardcore and artistic about what is and isn't political reality, because having this conversation in the wrong way is deadly.
Yes.
It will kill you dead politically. It will make you unable to filter reality correctly. It is not... any of the aspects of it, it is all of it. This is where we talk about total rejection, total separation, a rebuilding from a ground level through our own means, really, is the only way, because all of this is a system meant to manage decline.
Mm.
That is it. That is all it can do. It doesn't do it by choice. It manages decline because, as we put in the book, it is run by weak men with shoulders too narrow, and backs not strong enough to shoulder the burdens of their predecessors.
Mm.
We were led by strong men, and now we are led by weaker men who can only manage the decline. And imbuing them with agency and power they do not have is a huge mistake.
Yes.
These people are not choosing to be incompetent and to create decline. They are incapable as people, as men, of halting decline.
Yes.
Even if tomorrow they agreed with you 1,000% and put all their earnest efforts towards halting decline, they would be incapable because they are not great men.
No.
And that is really the crux of our entire thesis. If you are going to try and delegitimize something, try and delegitimize the idea of electoral politics in people's minds.
Physically, the idea of even engaging in politics.
Yeah.
That fundamentally, individuals who are themselves political by their own nature are illegitimate people.
As aspects of this fall away, as the cycle goes round, and as we have more and more instances of the cope cycle, the best example really being MAGA, and now what's inevitably going to happen with reform, which is the subsummation, this idea you must reach this electoral bottom-up critical mass in the form of reform or restore or
it's hitting
any of,
breaking point.
We're hitting breaking
critical
point.
Mass.
It's breaking through. It's moving the Overton window. It's red-pilling the normies. We're becoming legitimate.
Believe in the heart of the Tars.
Yeah, it's this awful process in which everything that everyone thinks they know about politics who are political activists is completely the opposite of reality. That is why it is such a...
That's why these people are quote-unquote activists in the first place.
Yes.
Because if they had half an idea what they were doing, they wouldn't be there.
Anyway,
we have one last look at the chat, yes, make sure we've not missed anything.
We'll make sure that there are no instances of fan funding.
Oh, but Mesa Farage, I'm the president of Nigeria. I should be put on the fucking rosette.
Put on the rosette.
That's from JD, and another fiver from Mr. EC is me. The economic, ecological, genetic, and demographic realities make decline and collapse inevitable, whatever political system or leaders you have.
Yes,
congratulations,
exactly.
You have been listening.
Congratulations, you have been listening, yes.
If you don't want to give us a super chat because you don't want to give money to PooTube, which is understandable, you can, as is linked in the chat, support us on the Ko-Fi, you can support us on Substack, or you can, if you're very cool and haven't done so already, buy book in both hardback and paperback and ebook. And remember, book is legitimate, but government is not.
Yes, book is legitimate, but government is not. Good night, everybody. We will see you later.
Believe in the heart of the Tards! Thank you.